There was one boy. For him, the happiest time in worship service was when the pastor gave the benediction. It's because for a little boy who was not mature in his faith, the benediction was like a countdown to end of worship. People of God, receive God's benediction. Yes! A recess bell is ringing. His feet were ready to go to the playground, and his mind already imagined the play with his friend. The boy grew up, and yesterday he gave his first benediction as an ordained pastor at the ordination service. You can guess who he is. The very first ministry I did was to proclaim the benediction. It was my first duty as an ordained pastor. During the past week, I practiced for 30 seconds speech. But the weight of the benediction is much heavier than I had thought. What is the benediction? What does that sentence following "people of God receive God's blessings" mean? Is this benediction really like a school bell announcing that we are all done in our worship today? This afternoon, I want to look at the scriptures and see what the benediction is and how it is meaningful. So what is a benediction? I would like to begin with the benediction in general. Our first heading is benediction in the word. Benediction in the word. The origin of the word benediction is from Latin. Our pastor left the Latin word and I took and then on forward. So, bene means well and dicere to speak. So simply and directly, it means a good word. Generally understood as blessings. Blessings. So you are hearing good words or blessings during every public worship service. The Directory of Public Worship in the RP testimony says public worship should be concluded with a solemn blessing upon the saints. It's solemn blessing upon the saints. Then two common forms are suggested. One is Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26, and the other is 2 Corinthians 13, 14. We already read those two texts. And the Directory of Public Worship also provides other benedictions in the scriptures, such as 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Ephesians 6:23-24, and Hebrews 13:20 and 21. Let me pause here for a moment. Do you know where the first benediction in the Bible was recorded? The very first is shown in Genesis 9:24-27. This is Noah's benediction to his sons after the flood. He said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tent of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." This pronouncement begins with a curse and concludes with a blessing upon Noah's sons. We can refer to it as a paternal benediction, the benediction from a father to his sons. You can find this paternal benediction in other portions of the Bible. For instance, Genesis 27:27-29, when Isaac mistakenly bestowed his blessing upon Jacob instead of Esau. This paternal benediction is also pronounced in God's name and by direct warrant of command from God. Yet, today, we would like to study sacerdotal benediction, the benediction in corporate worship. The first occasion on which ordained officers in the church were instructed to pronounce a blessing on the congregation of God's people on a regular basis is found in Numbers 6. We read Numbers 6, verse 24 to 27, commonly called again the Aaronic blessing. You see, this proclamation of the benediction was a ministerial act committed to the newly formed priesthood. This benediction was placed upon the lip of the priest of the house of Aaron and bestowed upon the congregation. Those of you who are note takers, jot down 2 Chronicles 30:27. 2 Chronicles 30:27, and read it later today. It is an example of the practice of the benediction in a congregational meeting when King Hezekiah restored the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It says, the priest, the Levite, arose and blessed the people. And when we come to the New Testament era, you know our worship does not look exactly the same as a temple worship. And the roles of pastors and priests are different as well. The fulfillment of Jesus Christ has brought this change. He fulfilled the needs of sacrificial worship. However, this does not mean to cease worship. We continue to worship Father God and praise Jesus Christ for his ministry of work, death, resurrection, and ascension. So the apostles, including Paul, modeled the same practice of the benediction in their worship. Those passages I mentioned earlier, 2 Corinthians 13, Thessalonians 3, Ephesians 6, Hebrews 13 are examples. They are called apostolic benediction. They were used in the early church worship, even at Jewish synagogues. The practice was distorted for a while during the medieval church era. But in the next era, during the time of Reformation, churches reclaimed the practice of benediction which had been ignored in worship. The pathfinders of Reformation, Martin Bucer, Martin Luther, and John Calvin, regularly used the Aaronic benediction in Numbers 6 in their church liturgy. And their understanding of the benediction in corporation worship was not just a tradition, but rather a practice based on scripture. In addition, they considered the practice of the benediction in worship not to be a pastor seeking God's blessing, but rather the proclamation of the word of God. To sum up, the benediction is the proclamation of God's word. The ministers of the gospel are set apart to deliver the word of God to God's people. The benediction is not a pastor's prayer or the pastor's word. Yet a pastor who delivers God's word proclaims God's word again at the end of worship. He proclaims God's word and the congregation receives God's word. We have explored the general idea of the benediction. Now I want to look at the contents of the benediction with the Aaronic benediction. Our second heading this afternoon is benediction by blessing. Benediction by blessing. In order to help our understanding of the benediction, it would be helpful to see the different kinds of blessings found in the Bible. There are three kinds of blessings. First, to bless may simply be used as a traditional way of greeting. Just say hi or how are you. For instance, in Genesis 28 verse 1, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, here to bless, it's just a greeting. Second, to bless may be used in a non-redemptive context. Later, we see Jacob in Egypt pronouncing blessing upon Pharaoh. His blessing upon Pharaoh did not concern deliverance from sin, but rather the provision of daily sustenance. And third, to bless is most often used in the scripture to denote the divine conferrer of redemptive blessing. This is what I want to focus on today as we study the Aaronic benediction. John Calvin's definition of benediction is the pledge of that divine benevolence, mercy, which is the source of our salvation. Source of our salvation. The main theme of the benediction should be the blessing of God. And the ultimate blessing of God is our salvation through Jesus Christ. This theme laid out in the Old Testament through the Aaronic blessing is found in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Let's look at how the threefold blessing in 2 Corinthians reflects the Aaronic blessings. First, in verse 24 of Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. To bless is shown 313 times in the Old Testament. This word is a popular word in the Bible, right? We want God's blessing. God, the creator of heaven and earth, is a source of a true blessing. We want He wants to keep us. And He wants to bless us. Different way of translation here in context is He want to. He desire to bless. And He want to. He desire to keep us. He want to guide us day and night. We should see that the foundation of this benediction comes from the love of God. 2 Corinthians 13:14 also has three parts. Trinitarian God, the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. among them, we see there the love of God. He wants to bless us and He wants to guide us. The second part is, His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Verse 25 and 26 talk about God's face. Seeking God's face is one of the big themes of which the psalmist sing and we sing. In Psalm 27, the Lord asks us to seek His face, and the psalmist responds saying, "Your face, Lord, do I seek." And the psalmist cries out with the singing, "How long will you hide your face from me? Hide not your face from me." It's because God's face is connected to God's grace upon His people. Job 33:26 says, "Man prays to God, and He accepts him. He sees His face with a shout of joy, and He restores to man His righteousness." The grace we ask for is salvation and righteousness. Especially, the light of God always reminds us that our sins leave us in darkness. The only way we get away from darkness is by entering into God's light. We need Jesus Christ, who shines as bright as the sun. How does the benediction in 2 Corinthians 13:14 begin? It begins with the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring those who walk and live in darkness into the light. The grace of Jesus Christ is found in the second part of the Aaronic blessing. And third, He gives you peace. We remember peace from the forgiveness of our sin. People who are under God's wrath and curses cannot find any peace in this life, although their life looks fine. Without deliverance from sin, there is no true peace. Then, the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, equips you with everything good for doing His will. To do so, Jesus Christ promised us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We receive true peace from the true Shalom, Jesus Christ. And we keep holding onto this peace during our life through the work of Holy Spirit. So the benediction in 2 Corinthians 13 ends with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to keep us and wants to guide us based on His love upon His people. He makes His face shine upon us. He shows His grace through the work of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ makes us behold His bright face in righteousness. the Lord also gives us peace. The Prince of Peace promised the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit makes us keep that eternal peace. So, we see a summary of the redemptive story in the benediction. We find Jesus Christ in the benediction. The ultimate blessing in the benediction is Jesus Christ. From the benediction by blessing, now we move to our last heading. Benediction with a promise. Benediction with a promise. The Aaronic benediction was given to the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. The title of Numbers in Hebrew Bible is in the wilderness or in the desert. The very last verse of this book says, "These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab, by the Jordan across from Jericho." They were in the wilderness. People who were on their journey in the wilderness needed the Lord's blessing all the time. They had no idea what would happen the next day. They were learning to rely on their Lord alone, even for the food they ate. They were learning to look upon the ultimate source of Jesus, source of blessings. They failed many times. But the more they recognized that they could not nothing in their journey, the more they were supposed to ask for God's grace, God's blessing upon them. The benediction, the Aaronic benediction was said in that situation. And we are in the same boat as the people of Israel. We have studied 1 Peter. The recipients of this letter were those who lived in a foreign land. I keep reminding you that you and I are living a pilgrim's life in this world until we get to our eternal Canaan. So it's important to know that we are people who need God's blessings, not only for our salvation, but also for our entire life in this world. Absolutely, without the Lord's blessings, we are nothing. The benediction upon God's people grants lots of comfort, encouragement, and strength. But more than that, the benediction is God's promise. It's God's promise. We do not have an easy life. Living in this world as a Christian seems to get harder and harder. Our gathering for worship and receiving the benediction are not like charging a battery after we consume all the energy during the week. We are here to worship God, commemorate what Christ has done for us, and be reminded to hold God's promise to us. So the last order of our worship, which is the benediction, reminds us of His promise. Where is that promise said in the benediction? In our passage today, what is the subject? What is the subject? The Lord
and the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord makes His face shine upon you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The term the Lord Adonai in Hebrew emphasizes, you might hear many, many times, God as the Almighty Ruler and Covenant Keeper. His Covenant Keeper. The Lord, He is giving His promise. And again, open your Bible again to 1 Corinthians 13:14. Where can you find this term, the Lord? Where? Next to Jesus Christ, who shed the blood of the eternal covenant. I think Paul put the order of Jesus, God, and then Holy Spirit with a specific intention. Paul emphasized Jesus Christ and wanted to let us know that good words without Christ are empty. I want to look at two more passages regarding the promise in the benediction. First Thessalonians 5:23. First Thessalonians 5:23 is one passage for the benediction. Now, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it continues, He who called you is faithful, who also will do it. He will do it. The Lord will do it. It's promised. The other is found in the last verse of the last book of the whole Bible. Revelation 22:21. The Bible closes with the words of the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This promise follows the words. Surely I'm coming quickly. Surely I'm coming quickly. Until the time Jesus Christ returns to you, and until the time you get to the promised land, the grace of Christ be with you. This is a promise. Until that time, you will be sanctified completely. This is a promise. And again, He will surely do it. This is the understanding of the benediction. A pastor proclaims God's promise. And the people of God holds God's promise. Let me recall John Calvin's definition of a benediction. A pledge of that divine benevolence, mercy, which is the source of our salvation. He's talking about that benediction is promise. Benediction in the word. Benediction by blessing. And benediction with promise. In closing, I would like to give you three applications for our practice as we have studied the benediction. The boy I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon understood the benediction as a bell to dismiss a class. First of all, I would like to talk about our attitude when we receive the benediction. At the Directory of Public Worship notes, The benediction is a pronouncement, not a prayer of adjournment, and should never become a mere formality for dismissing the congregation. The congregation should wait quietly and reverently to receive the benediction. Again, the benediction is also the proclamation of the word of God, the word of the gospel. We are asked to receive it quietly and reverently. And second, I graduated from the Christian Mission High School established by a former American missionary. Most of my teachers were Christian, but not all were faithful. I still remember when one of my teachers claimed that I did not need to pay attention or attend chapel service, but would receive God's blessing through the benediction only. That idea was contaminated by materialism, prosperity theology, and mystical events. The blessings of God are only found in and through Jesus Christ. Without the right understanding of the good news, good words are empty. Blessing does not promise our prosperity in this world, but the promised blessing of our heritage in heaven is sure. This is promised by Jesus Christ. And a third and last application might help us wrap up our study today. It's, I think, more than application. I'm bestowing over the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is high and holy privilege. But I'm not a pope. I'm not just giving my own word, but proclaiming God's word. And it is the word of Jesus Christ. We studied Aaronic benediction. Aaron and his children were priests. They had a right to bestow the benediction. But remember, Jesus Christ is the chief priest. Preaching is called the word of Christ, right? I want to emphasize that the benediction is also to be called the word of Christ from our chief and eternal priest. There is another connection. The blessing should come only from someone who has almighty power. The blessing belongs to someone who creates, rules over, and sustains all things, including heaven and earth. So the blessing should come from the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The benediction is proclaimed by the King of Kings, who is Jesus Christ. It's not my word. It's not Pastor's words, but Christ's words. He wants to give you His blessings. He wants to give you grace upon grace. He will keep His word until He comes back again. People of God, receive the benediction, the benediction from Jesus Christ. Amen.